All right, thank you very much. Kerry Cox, our next speaker. As young as he is, he already has 11 years in campus ministry. He comes to us from Crossings Church at Lindenwood, and he's going to talk to us about curriculum.
All right, I want to apologize, first of all, for coming up here with jeans with holes in them. It's the only other pair I bought, and I looked around, and the only other person that I looked like the jeans would fit me on were Bretians, but I didn't want to wear girl jeans, so I wore the ones with the holes in them. So I figure every speaker that gets up here is going to have to make fun of Bretian in some way or another, so I had to get my dig in, since he won't come and visit me, so you all should rebuke him for that later. All right, so, you know, Wes called me, and he wanted me to talk a little bit about creative curriculum. And I started thinking about what I would want to talk about with creative curriculum. This isn't going to be like a regular old lesson, you know, we're not going to sit here, it's not something necessarily you're going to take a bunch of notes on. But it really is about thinking of ways to reach students. And I know a lot of times whenever we look at things such as creative curriculum and things, you hear people say things like, well, I don't understand why we need all that, you know, we should just go on campus and just preach the straight gospel, and then people will hear it, and they'll respond, and that's all there is to it. But I think if you take a look at Jesus' ministry, you start finding out real quickly that Jesus was a pretty creative guy. You know, and he did things, and he understood that there are things that you have to do in order to get people's attention before they're going to listen to what you have to say. And as you look at his ministry, and as he traveled throughout the region, he would go, and he would heal people. And he would go, and you look at the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000. One of the things that he understood is food works. All right? And people follow Jesus for a lot of different reasons. And a lot of times we think, oh, well, we don't want to entertain him and we don't want to do something fun and creative because then they're going to start following Jesus for the wrong motives. Take a look at the New Testament and tell me how many of those people who started following Jesus for the wrong who didn't start following him for the wrong motives? Everybody that was following him around that region, they were looking to be healed. They were looking to be fed. They were looking for him to overthrow the government. They were looking for power. They were looking all kinds of different reasons. And you see Jesus catering to these other desires because he understands if you're ever going to reach these people on the deeper level and be able to train them to be what they need to be, you got to get them there first. And, you know, I heard a guy one time, I went to the Higher Learning Commission's thing in Chicago this year. I went with, I just got my job and they took me up there. I was the only non-doctor there, and I was looking around, and I'm like, why am I here? I'm here with the president of the university, two vice presidents, the provost, and I'm sitting through these classes, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. But I go to this one class, and it's a guy who is, I think they might be in Little Rock. It's Southern Baptist University. Is that in Little Rock? Does anybody know? But anyhow, he gets up there and he talks about how universities aren't doing what they need to do. They're not helping people who are underprivileged get into the university setting and become something better. People who didn't have the kind of homes growing up they needed. And he says their job at this university is to serve the underserved. But one of the things that he said that was kind of cool was he was talking about how they go to schools and he says, if I'm going to go to the school, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to let me talk to your behavior disorder classes and to your kids who aren't doing well in classes in your alternative schools. And the schools are like, what? And he's like, I know I'm not getting the straight A students in your school. I don't want to talk to them. I want to talk to these other people. And he said, what universities have gotten away from is realizing that you've got to get who you can and then you help them become something better. And he says that, you know, I've been a fisherman my whole life and I've never seen someone catch a fish and clean it in the river. He said, I've never seen someone clean a fish in the river. You got to catch them before you can clean them. And when it comes to creative programming, sometimes we need to realize we got to catch them before we can clean them. We want to go out and we want to present the gospel and say, all right, be a Christian now, be everything you were supposed to be. And they're like, I'm not coming to your prayer meeting. I'm not coming to your Bible study. And because they're dirty. You got to catch them before you can clean them. So you got to build relationships. And that's what some of the creative curriculum and programming that we try to do is designed to do. It's designed to let the world get in and build relationships with us and see there actually are normal people. And they're not these horrible beasts of Christians that everybody thinks of what Christianity and the church is today. And we want to let people know that. I've watched as I walk around campuses and I see signs up all over the place for campus ministries. And most of the signs that you see for campus ministries are come join us type of signs. You know, I joke with people a lot that you drive down the road and you look at all the churches and you say things like, come grow with us. Wrong approach, right? Come Grow With Us is not the kind of church Jesus designed us to be. He didn't design us to be Come Grow With Us campus ministries. And I see all these signs put up all around campus. Come to our prayer meeting. Come to our Bible study. And I see people walk by those signs and not look at them at all, except the religious people. And so what you have is you have all these campus ministries, whether in our brotherhood or not, and they have all the religious kids on campus coming, and all the unchurched kids, and all the people who have absolutely no relationship with God and have never seen what a relationship with God can be like, don't want to have anything to do with it. And so what I believe is we have to find ways to be creative and say, hey, this is a lot of fun, come check this out, and then get our people to integrate with the lost people and say, hey, check this out. Maybe you should come check this out. Did you have fun tonight? Well, you should check out our cross chats. And it's a real laid-back discussion. But looking for opportunities. You know, like I said, you look at Jesus. He fed people. He healed people. He did all kinds of things. And he would have times that he would run into curriculum that he didn't know he was going to have, like when he goes in the temple. And he looks around and he's like, hold up, what's going on in here? And he puts a lesson plan together real quick and drives everybody out of the temple. And there are times that you're going to have to respond to things you see on your campus and be creative with the curriculum you have so that you can make things happen that you're able to teach people with. And so I want to just walk down through and show you some of the things that we've done and tell you about how they've worked and how they've turned out for us. This is our root beer kegger. We stole this from I first heard about doing a root beer kegger from I think it was Randy Schilling actually was telling me about a campus ministry in Illinois that had done it, and I'd talked to him, but he said they'd have, you know, like 50 people show up at these root beer keggers, and I'm like, that is awesome. I want to try this. So while I was over at SIUE, we started having root beer keggers, and they went over pretty well. Well, the last root beer kegger we had before we left and went on the church plant, we had between 400 and 500 people 20 miles off campus at our church for this root beer kegger. And we did, back then we used to do root beer kegger and mud wrestling. And you may look at that and you may think, oh my goodness, a church. We were doing this on our church lot, root beer keggers and mud wrestling. We would get out there and we'd build these huge pits and we would fill them with water and we'd have kegs of root beer and we would go around campus and we would flyer and we would put things up and we had people in the dorms talking about it and we would chalk and we would do all these different things. And we had to fight with the university to let us put kegger on the sign because no, you can't have that on a sign, even though they did beer bash and served O'Doul's out of the side of a semi-truck. I don't understand the hypocrisy there. But, and you know what? It was a fight to get them to let us do that, but it was worth it. It was worth the fight. And we were known for that root beer kegger. And actually, Maria right here, who is one of our small group leaders, that was the first event Maria attended. We have anybody else with us that their first event was the root beer kegger? Was it your first event? Your first event? Three of our people here, their first event was a root beer kegger. And, two of those are small group leaders in our group right now. But, you know, we try to do fun things. This is over at Lindenwood when we did this. And we have a band come and play, free food and fun, recording artist Zach Weber in concert. The first year we only had one baby, so we thought we'd put the babies together. And we do try to do crazy shirts, like all the shirts that we do for the Root Beer Kegger. You know, it had this little baby with a mug, and it says Root Beer Kegger. And we had people at the Root Beer Kegger coming up to our campus ministry members saying, I want one of those shirts. So we're ironing all these shirts and selling them, you know. It was ridiculous. But the thing is that people had a blast. The first year that we did the root beer kegger at Lindenwood, is it ready to go? Yeah. This is the second year. Third year. This is our third year that we did this, and we had t-shirts like this. And I took that picture of Wes and put it on there, and we had a good time with it. But, you know, the first year we did the root beer kegger at Lindenwood, we had somewhere around 200 kids show up. The next year we had probably around 350, 400 people show up. And the last year we did the root beer kegger throughout the night, we had around 600 people come down to the root beer kegger, which at our university is unheard of to have that many people in an event. It's unheard of. And honestly, the root beer kegger is a lot of the way I got my job working for Lindenwood, because they saw events like the root beer kegger and said, if a campus ministry can draw that many students to an event, we want to hire that person. And that's a lot of the way I got my job. And it's real easy to look at these things and be like, well, yeah, but what happens after this? And I talked about that a little last year. I'm not really going to get into the details of it as much this year. But basically, at a big event like the root beer kegger, my students are very purpose-filled and focused. What are you saying? And, you know, when people come to that event, They our students understand my goal is to grab a couple people here and develop a relationship with them and move them to what we call cross chats, which are our, we'll talk a little bit about how we do those too as well. But the root beer kegger goes over really well. It's huge, and it's something that people see it and they're like, I want to see a kegger root beer. Oh yeah, I got to tell you some of the stuff we do at the kegger. Besides, we do keg stands. I wish I had the video here to show you. It is hilarious. We have a video than we have of the root beer kegger, and you see people standing. We have one of our girls getting down off of a keg stand and throwing up all over the place as she walks off the stage. It's a riot. But people come in, and they just want to see this crazy stuff. And I have people look at me all the time like, you do what with the campus ministry? But it works, and it gets our name out there, and we are known as the campus ministry on campus. No questions asked. You know, I had a guy email me today from Lindenwood saying, hey, I was talking to some guy about your campus ministry, and he was just telling me how dominating it is on the university and how everybody knows you guys. And this is some guy I've never met him or anything before. And, yeah. And by the way, you notice here it says Zach Weber in band and concert, shameless plug here. Zach Weber is a friend of ours who we studied with his girlfriend. She moved to New York, ended up becoming a Christian in New York. And now Zach has moved to New York and is going to church at one of the Manhattan churches. And, they're trying to continue what we started, but he played the root beer keggers for us for free. And so right now he has a chance to play at Lollapalooza. And if you vote for him, he can make it into the top five bands and win. So if you put in Lollapalooza last band standing on a search engine, you'll find it. And you can vote for Zach Weber. But we have a good time. The concerts are awesome. It's a lot of fun. This is a cross chat that we did. We try to look at things that the students are liking. All the time in my office, I was hearing people talk about Flavor of Love and Flava Flav. Anybody know who Flavor Flav is? Most of you guys know. Yeah, boy, Flava Flav. You know, yeah, he's sitting right back there, they say, you know. But we looked at it and we thought, you know, we want to take this and make it creative, and we want to take something that the world really enjoys and show them God using those things. And so we did the Flavor of Love cross chats. There are all kinds of love. Which flavors do you want? And we talked about we talked about erotic love, and we talked about brotherly love, and we talked about agape, and we went through these things, and we broke them down into lessons that were easy for them to understand and to apply to their lives. And we're handing these out, and people are like, you're a campus ministry, and you're talking about Flavor Flav? And not only did we talk about it, but we would sit there during our cross chats, and we would play clips from Flavor of Love and say, look how stupid these people are acting. Or, you know, let's look at this and see, why is this person acting this way? And it allowed us to be able to say, we're taking something that you enjoy and we're showing you God through those things. And we try to be creative as possible with those things. Let's see what else we got. Prison Break, you know, just popular shows. We did Have You Found the Freedom You Thought College Would Bring? A lot of college students go to school and they're like, oh, I'm finally free. And then they get there and they find out they're not free. Do you need a prison break? What is it that keeps your life on lockdown? Do you wonder what's on the other side of those prison walls? And with that, we went through, this is an example of the second cross chat we did. This one was dealing with breaking free from your past. And we asked questions like, if there was something in your past you could change, what would you change? How much effect would you say the past has on everyday life? Why? You know, and then we talk about, do you think history repeats itself? Is that true in individual lives? Or can you change and be something different than what you've dealt with in your past? And then we read John 4 and we deal with, you know, all these different things of a woman who has a past and how she breaks free from that past. And that's what those cross chats are designed to do. And we try to be really creative with those, and we try to allow people to see that things can be different. You know, steps to healing, realize where you are in the present. Realize your past doesn't have to dictate your future. You can choose your response. You can forgive yourself or those who have hurt you, or maybe both. Realize that you can use your past to help others. And we take those things and we try to be creative, but we also put a spin on it that allows them to say, man, I've never seen God this way. I didn't know church. I didn't know Christianity was about this. If this is what Christianity is about, I'll have something to do with it. Just like those people following Jesus saying, hey, if he loves me enough to feed me and heal me, I'll stick around and listen to what else he has to say. And we try to draw them in and let them see that there's some awesome things that God has planned for their life, even though they might not have known it at first. This next one is, you look at that, and this is a response to bad curriculum, okay? And I'll explain what I mean. Campus ministries get themselves in a lot of trouble because they're very religious in general. And we have a group of campus ministries that get together in this thing called The Vine. And The Vine approached us and said, hey, we got this great idea for reaching students. We have a great idea for reaching students on campus. What we're going to do is we're going to wear these shirts that say, I agree with Lorenz. And we're going to have everybody wear these shirts that say, I agree with Lorenz. And then when people come up and talk to us and they say, hey, do you agree with Lorenz? And you say, hey, you come to this thing and we're going to tell you what I agree with Lorenz is all about. You come to this meeting and we'll tell you what it's all about. And when we get to the meeting, what we're going to do is Lorenz is going to get up there. He's this guy at our school. And he's going to say, I believe in Jesus Christ and he's my Lord and Savior. You should too. Pray him into your heart and it's all good. That's the gist of what was going on. And I knew these groups very well. They already have a bad reputation for being pushy, self-righteous, arrogant, and all kinds of things. And, you know, I looked at it and I said, I don't think our campus ministry is going to participate in that. And they said, well, why not? And I said, because you're going to make a lot of people really mad, first of all, because they're going to feel like you're tricking them into conversations. And they're going to feel like you're... And I go through a list of things that I looked at and I said, I just don't feel like that's a very good idea. I think you're going to come off as arrogant and self-righteous in this. And they were like, no, no. And we took a lot of heat for not being involved in this campaign. I mean, from some of our faculty got upset with us. I mean, all kinds of different things. But I just looked at it and I thought, man, I don't think that's a good idea. Well, sure enough, 2 weeks into the campaign, a week into the campaign, I have students who are unchurched students come down to my office and saying, would you do something about these Lorenz people? They're driving us crazy. They won't leave us alone. And they start listing all these things. And so I said, yeah, well, you know, I can't do anything about them doing this campaign per se, but I can tell you that not every group is like that. So we thought about it and we're like, okay, what can we do in order to salvage the reputation of godly people on this campus? And so we came up with I Can't Stand Religion. And so while the Lorenz campaign is going on, the third week of the Lorenz campaign, we're doing the I Can't Stand Religion campaign, which also caused a big stir. But the thing is, it reached our target. The unchurched people on our campus are like, I can't stand religion either. Where do I go? Sign up. And they're like, and you know, they looked at it. They couldn't. And some of them, it wasn't. And I told them, I said, you may find out that it's not religion that you can't stand. Well, yeah, I can't stand religion either. But you can't stand Lorenz's campaign. You can't stand these different things. And so on the back of it, we kind of explained what we were doing. Took a lot of heat for this, but have you ever felt like this? I feel this way on a daily basis. If the hypocrisy doesn't make you nauseous, the arrogance and self-righteousness probably does. People are so tired of church, religion, Christians, etc. Some of these feelings are well-deserved, and others are probably not so fair. Jesus had plenty of problems with the religious of his day, and he would have just as many with Christians today. However, Jesus would also encourage you not to judge what a relationship with him is like by watching the religious. Please give us a chance to show you there's a huge difference between religion and a relationship with God. And we took that, and we had a lot of people come to those cross chats, and we just talked about the way Jesus dealt with the religious. And we were looking for a creative way to respond to something that happened on our campus. Now, it may not be on your campus. You may not be responding to someone else's curriculum. But there's a lot of opportunities on your campus. If you look around to see what's going on your campus, you can find creative ways to draw people in. And one of the things I meant to tell you with the Root Beer Kegger also and a few of the other events we do, we've done an 80s skate night, which was a blast, and things like that. And this is one of the ones we're working on now. We're going to do a pillow fight on campus. And there's a lot of different things. But with those big events, and this has also got us in trouble with some campus ministries and religious people in general, but that's not our target, all right? We don't do a devotional. We don't talk about God. We don't talk about Jesus at those big events. And people look at that and they're like, what are you doing? We get up there and we say, hey, we're glad you're here. This was sponsored by a Cross Between Campus Ministry. We hope you have a blast. That's the extent of what we tell them. And we do that multiple times throughout the night because we understand we're building a relationship with them so that we can get to the deeper levels. You know, and we don't get up there and we're like, you know, Jesus needs to be your Lord and Savior tonight. They don't know who Jesus is at that point. And so we don't do that first night. And we use those as opportunities to get to know those people. And I think it's important for us to realize that, you know, there are all kinds of religious organizations on our campus who are shoving Jesus down other people's throats. And the people aren't responding well to it. All right? They don't want to have anything to do with it. And so we have an opportunity to get down, you know, on their level in some ways and say, hey, we can have a blast. And then we'll get to know you. And then you come to something else, you know. I believe that Jesus would look at that approach and say, hey, I followed a very similar approach. People followed me for the wrong reasons at first, but they grew to know me, they grew to love me, and they surrendered to me, and they end up living their lives for Christ. And every one of us have those opportunities on our campuses if we will open our eyes to see those things. If we'll open our eyes to say, man, what can I do that will be fun? That will be crazy. You know, we looked at doing foam parties. We looked at doing, you know, all kinds of different things. We've done several different events like that. And we're constantly looking for new things to try and do. But if you can get an event like the Root Beer Kegger going, the Root Beer Kegger is an annual event. And the annual events, if you push them right, become huge events. And if nothing else, it gives you a great reputation on your campus. And that reputation will help you to more easily and more effectively reach the people around you. And so I would just encourage all of you to start looking at ideas of ways that you can draw people in. Think outside the box. Nobody wants to come to your prayer meeting, all right? No unchurched person is looking and saying, man, I've really got to find a prayer meeting this year. You know, they're not doing that. They're not doing that. You've got to go to them and help them get to where they're going to the prayer meetings. One of the cool things this year is that I've never done a great job of promoting and really having prayer be what it needs to be in our campus. But we have students who we've won through events like this who now they do a prayer meeting every Monday night. They don't advertise it to the school in general. They just decided, we need to pray more. And they started a prayer meeting. You see, you can take someone from here to here, and they can be they'll want to do the prayer if you get their hearts. But to get their hearts, you got to catch them first. You got to get a hold of them. And you got to let them know Christians can have a lot of fun, and we are normal people. And you know, when they get there, making sure your students are very focused. And if you can get your students to be very focused at those big events, you don't have to worry about having a sermon, a devo, a song, anything at those events, because that'll come later. And so you can kind of funnel them down. We use the big events, our cross chats, church studies, and then they do the same thing for other people. So those are just a few ideas, and we do some other things. If you want to talk about it, we could talk about that. Or if you have any really good ideas like that that we don't do, I would love to steal them from you. So let me know. All right, we're gonna pray, and then I'm gonna let Wes get up here and I guess close us out. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for today, God, for just again letting us be here to listen to your word and to talk about being people who follow you and how to have effective campus ministries, God. I love college students, and I would love to see us have ministries all over the country, God, that are effectively reaching students for you. And that those students go to other campuses and start other campus ministries, God. And that they grow up into adulthood and they take our churches that are declining, God, and that are having problems, and they're passionately on fire for you. And they turn it around, God. They turn the tide. And I pray that you will help us to have hearts that are willing to do whatever it takes in order to grow your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.